It's all connected.
Just in time when Cowboy joins. See?
Yeah. Cowboy Tech.
Excellent timing we have.
We do. Anyway, folks, welcome to the It's All Connected show here with myself, Grimner, and the lovely Miss Circolo.
Ooh, that one. Yeah.
Yes, lovely. It is Monday, April 26, 2021, and it's what time? 2 p.m. on the East Coast. Noon p.m. Is that a thing? Noon p.m. Yeah, here in the Mountain Time Zone, and I don't know what the hell time it is over there where you are.
20:00.
8 p.m. 8 p.m. 20:00. Over there in Denmarkia. Noon p.m.
Noon o'clock. It's not p.m.
Well,
I don't know. I never learned that whole PM, AM.
The noon and the midnight, they screw me up. Because I think midnight is, they call that 12 AM. But
oh.
Is it? Or then noon is 12 PM. I think that's how it works. I'm not positive on that.
No.
Don't put that into any kind of documented source or nothing. And using me as a reference, because it could be wrong. anyway, this is episode 38 of It's All Connected, and the title of today's show is The Sneezing Elephant in the Room.
Uh-oh.
You got to watch out. You know, elephants, when they sneeze, they can produce a lot of snot. and so when that elephant sneezes in the room, you better watch out. You better tell that elephant to put a mask on.
Oh, that would be a pretty big mask, though, right?
Think about it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does it cover the trunk?
Well, I would imagine it would have to, wouldn't it?
So it's more like a giant sock kind of mask thing. Then.
Yeah, a sock puppet mask.
Yeah. Stinky sock puppet.
Yes, definitely sock. Wherever you are, dude,
yeah.
We miss you down here.
Yep.
Down here on this
when
realm.
When we invent the first elephant mask, we will name it after Sock Puppet. And he will turn in his grave and go, what the fuck, people, did I do to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, Frumpy knows noon is p.m. on most of Earth. I'm not sure what part of Earth it would not be.
I don't know. I don't have that kind of trouble, though. 12 o'clock is like noon.
Yeah. Anyway, folks out there, if you're listening, we are live on reallibertymedia.com and rlmradio.xyz. And if you're listening later on a podcast, come on over, check us out. Yeah, say hi. We got a big old chat room over here with folks in here chatting about various things. And you can come over and join them. And some of them will say hi and be friendly, and some of them will be assholes. Because, well,
that's it.
That's just the way it works over here in the chat room, you know. Sometimes
that's
people are cool and sometimes they are not.
No, that's life, though, right?
Yeah, it is life. It's the same. Yeah, this is like a microcosm of the society out there.
Yeah.
Except it's more of a anarchistic microcosm than you would normally get. In many places. So, yeah, you can come over here. You can say,
right? Waykeepers.
Yeah, you can come over here. You can say hi to Damn Van Meter and Vinny and Frumpy and Flasher and Kate and Moose Girl and Beetle. Say hi, Beetle. Where the hell are you?
Hi, Beetle. Say hi to Beetle.
Beetle ain't talked for a couple of days. Yeah, whatever. We got all kinds of folks. We got Asmo. We got Rob Works. Hey, Rob, you tuned in, man? What's going on, dude? Cowboy Tech's here with us and, you know, all kinds of folks. We got some nice, cool bots. We got Vanna and Weather Dork and Barman. Yeah, Barman.
Yeah. Barman is the normal one, though, right?
He's my old buddy. He's my buddy.
Yeah.
He's been around with me since, like, 1995.
He's just not very great in games. He's a nice guy and all, but then the minute you start playing games with him, he turns really literal and anal about everything.
Yeah, yeah, that's him. Yeah, so anyway.
No. We still love you, barman.
Of course we do.
Yep.
And all of your lines of code. maybe not.
How many lines of code is
I don't know, a few thousand.
Oh.
I don't know. He's like a conglomeration of various things I've put together throughout the years. Like I said, you know, that's like, what, 25, 26? Barman's getting old. He's like 26 now. yeah, since
26?
Yeah, since I first started him, yeah, 95.
So, wow.
Yeah.
You're a persistent fucker, huh, Grimner?
I am. Yeah. No question about that.
I applaud that, though.
Well, cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Keeping a program running for 26 years?
Well, I build on it all the time. So, I mean, he's not like
I know.
He grows and matures, and as certain bots do. You know, I've done quite a bit of work on Vanna White since I started her. Weather dork, not so much. Yeah, he's just there to tell us the weather and Google crap for us.
He's kind of handy.
He's very limited in what he does, but people seem to like the, you know, getting their weather and stuff. So
yeah.
So
I thought that was very Danish, you know, that you just talk about the weather, but apparently it seems to be a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's small talk. How you like this weather? Too hot for you? anyway, so our topic.
The sneezing elephant, yeah.
The sneezing elephant, yeah. So tell me what was behind your thinking on that topic.
Well, it seems like we've been covering it aboutness, right? In a way, but not really.
Aboutness?
Yeah, we did everything around the elephant, right?
Right.
We talked a lot around it. We never actually talked about the sneezing elephant.
Well, elephants are kind of tricky, especially like if you're blindfolded or blind, and you walk up to the elephant and you like feel his tail there, because that's the part that you walked up to. You think, oh, this is like just like a rope hanging off of something. But if you walk up to the leg of the elephant and you think, well, this is like maybe a tree. This could be a tree. So you're not really sure what the elephant is. And if you touch his trunk, you might think, well, this is like a big old snake here.
Yeah,
so elephants...
See, because we all see the world differently.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. So the elephant is a tricky thing, you know. And then you don't want to be standing behind the elephant when he craps. From what I understand, they crap big.
Unless you are really, really cold and your feet is about to fall off from frostbites.
Okay, I think
then you won't mind warm dung on your feet.
Yeah, I might find another way. I find some other way to stay warm except elephant crap.
I hope you will never find out, Grimnir.
I hope not to. Well, I don't I don't really hang around with elephants, so I don't know. But
no.
They are there in the room. They're that, and everybody seems to ignore them. That's the concept of the elephant in the room is. Hey, this is the big thing here. This is the big deal. Why is nobody talking about it?
Because it's like Voldemort. Haven't you noticed that you can't
it's
say
like who?
His name on YouTube? Voldemort.
I don't know who that is.
Harry Potter. You can't say his name. It's the evil guy in Harry Potter. You can't say his name.
All right. I never read Harry Potter or watched Harry Potter movie.
The Corona COVID-19 thingy is just like his name, right? You can't say it.
Okay.
You get automatically censored on social media and other platforms if you say it.
Okay.
The only ones who can say it, actually say it, is, you know, state officials.
Right.
And their media. They get to say it all the time.
Sure.
COVID this and COVID that and Corona this and that and Corona and COVID and COVID and Corona, right?
Corona, Rona,
nobody
Rona.
Has to say it.
The Rona.
Nobody has to say it.
Well, let me share something with you. that I'm going to be putting this link into the blog post. Because we were talking about it a little bit earlier there in the chat room this morning.
Yes.
And that's called something called lockstep. Are you familiar with lockstep?
Yeah. Well, I was reading the article you put up.
Okay. Well, this is a different article, but it's just like a, not really an article so much as like a bulletized list of various things dealing with a lockstep. And this called Lockstep 2010 was blueprint for 2020 COVID-19 pandemic. This is the Millennium Report here, which was posted last July. So it's not like something that just came out today, something that we need to, you can post it everywhere because it's good stuff. It's good information. And it's the COVID plan / Rockefeller Lockstep 2010. So this has been in the planning since at least 2010, the whole thing. Says they hypothesize a simulated global outbreak required steps, various phases, overall timelines, and expected outcomes. This was posited in the Rockefeller Lockstep 2010. The first step was create a very contagious but super low mortality rate virus, sound familiar, to fit the needed plans. Using SARS, HIV, hybrid research strain created in Fort Detrick Class 4 lab from 2008 to 2013. That's how long they've been working on this. As part of a research project to find out why coronaviruses spread like wildfire in bats, but have an extremely hard time infecting humans. To counteract that, they added four HIV inserts into the virus. They put HIV into the coronavirus. The missing key to infect humans is the ACE2 receptor. Then you create a weaponized version of the virus. This is still to come, by the way. This is the next step. So we all
corona
know now.
The Corona 20, 2.0 also.
We all know that Corona is a huge hoax. That it doesn't really do anything to people. It doesn't harm. It's like a cold, maybe possibly a flu.
It's horrible to the spirit. Look at how much fear and division
anger. That's a different thing than the quote virus unquote.
It's the real thing. It's the important shit, man.
But this is the next step. Create a weaponized version of the virus with a much higher mortality rate as a backup plan, ready to be released in phase 3, but only if needed. SARS, HIV, MERS, weaponized Tribbett strain created at Fort Detrick Class 4 lab in 2015. So it's there. They're waiting to release it. This is the next thing coming along.
You know what I almost placed my hope on?
Uh-oh.
Because I'm almost there where I'm giving up on humans to correct this shit, right?
Okay.
So I'm almost going to go with the only ones we can rely on, right?
Right.
Are the animals they're using to test this shit on.
Right.
I'm kind of hoping that they are going to revolt and say, okay, now humans, this is enough, right? Because it's like Franken-war shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It is. It's horrible. Anyway,
yes. I mean, you see how much the spiritual side and the body side and everything is connected in this.
It's all connected.
Because we are bound to once we started using torture on animals to create stuff in laboratories, right?
Right.
We were bound to get so much darkness in some of these hearts and souls. That shit like this is gonna happen.
Well, here's the beginnings, which I talked about well over a year ago, and nobody paid attention. Well, I don't know about nobody, but almost nobody paid attention. This is the part. Transport the research strain to a different Class 4 lab, the National Microbiology Lab in Winnipeg, Canada. Then have it quote stolen and smuggled out by China, unquote, Zhejiang Li on purpose, and taken to China's only Class 4 lab, which is in Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China. For added plausible deniability and to help cement the wanted backup public script as something to fall back on if needed. The primary script being it's natural. Oh, yeah, totally natural. Backup script being that China created it and released it by accident.
Are there people who believe that shit, that it just happened as, like, one guy ate a bat?
Yeah, I think it was a woman.
For real?
Yeah, you got to eat. She was eating bat soup. Bat soup, something they call a wet...
It's ridiculous, right?
Something they call a wet market. It was just happened to be, you know, down the road from the Wuhan lab. Yeah. Some people believe, because that's what the government said. That. So if the government said it, it's right?
I just don't... there's so much rot, right? When it comes to pharma and all that laboratory shit, there's so much rot of all planes and levels, right, of existence there.
Sure.
It's bound to go like this. You're going to get like a void. Nasty shit happens where there's that much evil, really.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these people, you know, these people, they work all day torturing animals.
Mm-hmm.
To perfect their compounds and mixes and chemicals.
Right.
To maximize profit. This is just insane.
I'm not sure where Fort Detrick is, but that's apparently where this was all created. Somebody tell me where Fort Detrick is. and then the next step was to fund all the talking heads, Fauci, Birx, Tedros, and agencies, World Health Organization, NIH, the CDC, the UN, that would be involved with the pandemic response prior to the planned research or release of the research strain to control the wanted script throughout the operation. They set all this up. They created the virus. They put the plan together, how it was going to be done, how it was going to be released, how it was going to be used to control the population. Frederick, Maryland is Fort Detrick. Thank you very much, Moose Girl. That makes sense, near the Pentagon, yeah. Because I definitely have read and heard and believe that it was a Pentagon situation going on there. They want to control the people in massive ways, and which that's the elephant, right? The control, the fear, and the control in the fear. The control follows the fear. They put the fear out there, then they've got you, because...
Well, the spiritual effect of all this is definitely worse than the physical ones, though.
It's a deadening thing, the spiritual effect.
Yeah.
That
fear just mobilized like that.
It's just crushed people's spirits, for sure.
Viewed it as a viral campaign, you know, for a long time now, and it seems to behave a lot like a viral ad campaign.
Right.
And it just they're playing on so many levels, though, right?
Sure.
Alone the derivative scams, there wasn't this. All the vaccines were sold in last July.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they weren't even produced by then.
Well, they were actually. They've been around for a long time. I mean, they created the virus.
But
created...
by then, didn't the virus just tone down though? Is it? It became.
Well, no. That's when they started rolling out all the fake PCR tests to pump up the cases, yeah. because when you test somebody with the PCR test. Typically they're going to show nothing. They're going to not know. Everybody's going to be negative. But if you dial up, the amplitude of the PCR to certain levels, eventually everybody will show as positive. So they use that. I don't know if you noticed when they switched, from infections to cases, because they did that and they did it big time. But it talks here about the virus, the vaccine in the next bullet point. create and fund the vaccination development and rollout plan so it's capable of being rolled out on a global scale. Gates.
And what are they up to now? Like, it's like a 6-8 month vaccine now? So you got to repeat it?
Yeah, some stupid shit. Of course, it'll be a never-ending thing. It won't be a...
It's a money grab, though. It's a giant money grab.
Well,
man.
It is a money grab, but
they depleted their... They depleted markets, and they needed new markets, and they're just expanding to a really market with growth potential here, right?
Oh, yeah, global.
Yeah.
Anyway, it says Gates, a decade of vaccines and the Global Action Vaccine Action Plan 2010 to 2020. Then you create and fund vaccination verification and certification protocols, digital ID to enforce, confirm the vaccination program after the mandatory rollout is enacted. Gates ID 2020. Then you simulate the lockstep hypothesis just prior to the planned research strain release using a real-world exercise as a final war game to determine expected responses, timelines, and outcomes. Event 201 in October 2019.
And you know how many money is being channeled right now into the public services?
Big
pharma and public services, man.
I don't consider any of them services. I consider them.
They do themselves.
Attacks. They're attacks. They're not services.
And leeches. The public leeches. How many money is being channeled into them?
Trillions.
I think it's the greed. I think it's the money that's going to be the end of all this in Denmark, though.
Oh, probably. I mean, you know.
I think it's because people are going to Right now, I think it's alone the testing is like 100 million Danish kroners a year.
Okay. That's just testing.
That's just the testing, yeah.
Yeah. Then you got the vaccines, the enforcement, and of course the COVID passports or whatever you want to call them, COVID pass stacked on top of that because, you know, they're definitely... pushing to go that direction. I saw an article this morning somewhere.
They're getting a big pushback, though. I don't think they're going to get through with it. I think people are going to get cheap before they get to that.
Cheap?
Yeah, they're going to go. Are you people insane? You're not spending $100 million just on the test?
They don't have to because, I mean, you have a central bank there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that central bank could just keep on printing up new money. It don't matter
That's not what people in Denmark think.
Oh, well,
they know they are going to be the ones paying for these 100 millions a year.
Yeah, well,
they're going, okay, enough already.
You got 100 millions, we got trillions.
I know.
we totally bypassed billions and went straight to trillions. So how long before the quadrillions start kicking out?
No, right now the big thing is how many nurses you can pay for 100 million kroners, how many hospital beds we could have established for that money, how many daycare teachers, all that. That's what people are mainly talking about. That the money right now is going to these tests, which mm-hmm. doesn't bring anything.
Right.
And we could have spent all that money on better care for the elderly or...
Anything other than this nonsense. Anything other than this hoax would have been a better... You know, just giving money to people out of a helicopter would be better than what they're doing with this.
Yeah. I think the cheap bone, right?
Yeah, just...
The money... I think that's what's going to get people to say, oh no.
I would hope that something like that would, I mean, if people aren't upset by the massive control mechanisms being put into place, which these control mechanisms, they're not letting loose of. They don't want to let go of those.
All the fear and all the hate and all the anger is going to persist even though if all this goes away, right?
Right.
You're still going to have all that division.
Well, you would, sure, because a lot of, you know, you've got the believers versus the realists. And as people looking at the various situations going on, they know
and both sides are reaching a point where they no longer see human in each other.
No, they don't.
And they're just labeling people now.
Right, and they'll go
either
after.
You're a mask wearer or you're a mask denier or it's just labels and name calling. It's just enemy pictures and propaganda speak. It's NLP all over from everybody.
No question about that. So, you know, unless you have your like vax tattoo on your head or something, which I don't know what they're gonna want to have some easily identifiable way to pick out people that have been vaccinated, and so you know it'll be something visible that everybody has to have if you know according to their plan, not according to people like you or I that understand this is nonsense. That's how they do the control is through those type of mechanisms.
Yes, one thing is all that political side bullshit. That's the most boring and pitiful side and dimension of life, though, right?
Yes.
That's that man-made bullshit politics. It's just insane. It drives everybody who touches it insane. But that's just one side of all this. And then there are all the others who are actually important, because the politician side is like, ugh. For every move one side does, another side makes another move, and then you got this move and that move, and all of this is being battled out in courts everywhere, right?
Sure.
Almost every country in Europe, I would say, have a Supreme Court case right now about this.
But the courts are all rigged too, so.
The first one who was told the Belgian state directly to end the COVID restrictions because they were illegal and unmandated.
Mm-hmm.
So the courts, in some way, as it would seem, they're tending to bend against the opposition.
Right.
So you got all these, you got them fighting in one level in all the court levels, right? Then you got all the politicians fighting in their so-called parliaments, which is like a screaming match that is also echoed in the media, right?
Right.
And none of those are actually important, because none of those are just, it's not even real. But that's the noise. That's what gets all the attention.
That's
it's
true.
All this politics.
Yeah.
I've never seen a law or a lawmaker actually change the world, though, right? It's always somebody else's actions within that law, on that law, that drives the impact into the real world, because none of it exists in the real world.
But the politicians will take credit if it's good.
Yeah. Well, nobody would give a fuck about these politicians if their foot soldiers didn't act upon them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they created this. I remember the Ebola virus, right? Remember that?
Sure, it's still around.
You remember how it ended?
Well, I mean, it hasn't ended.
But the mainstream media and the politicians agreed to no longer write stories about it and no longer cover it and no longer talk about it. And within days, just ended.
Ebola, I understand that within an area, a small area that gets infected by Ebola, the situation there has such a high mortality rate that it will burn itself out within a short time. I mean, it may take out 80-90% of whatever town, village, area that it's in, but it can't become a global pandemic just because of the mortality rate that it has. And it wasn't going to spread out of the areas naturally. It wasn't going to spread naturally out of the areas where they found it. But then, of course, you know, they do like they do with everything else. They take these diseases and they put them into a lab so that they can make it so that they can make sure that it is more spreadable.
Yeah, because Big Pharma is really disgusting, right? Really disgusting.
Totally, totally, absolutely.
And this is like a giant money grab for Big Pharma. And we're also giving them some of that political playground now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not, it's the global controllers, the banksters, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers. So here's another part of that. Scrolled down a bit on this thing here about that money. It says, enact the new economy model, Microsoft patent 060606. So you take those zeros out, you just got Microsoft patent 666. A cryptocurrency system using body activity data, which is based on human behavior and willingness to submit. It is a tweaked version of the Black Mirror's 15 million merits program, using food, water, and shelter and other essentials as a weapon of enforcement of the new economic system. Basically, do what we want to get rewarded, gain credits, score, and gain more access to things you need to survive. So the first phase, obviously, the corona bologna nonsense, working into the vaccines, the lockdowns, the vaccine passports, the crushing of the global economy to roll out this new economy, crypto-based economy, that you will be judged on various social scoring type system. we're not even halfway into this plan yet. This stuff that they're rolling out. This, I would say, is the real elephant in the room.
But you can take over. You can easily, right now, as those algorithms, they work right now.
Yeah.
You can easily knock them out through the feedback loop.
Right.
The internet does that all the time. Fucks up those major algorithms.
Sure.
You can target that. Once you have the different kind, because it's true, they are expanding on currencies, right? We used to think of them as monetary currencies and only monetary currencies, right?
Right.
Yeah, I did that easily, Vinny. Easily take them over.
Easily. So easily.
But I'm just saying there are other currencies that are right now, you know, getting massive. One of them is like the cloud currencies of social media reach, right?
Sure.
A lot of algorithms on the internet is controlling that, and a lot of shit is moved through that.
Well, you know, one thing, and I saw this, I've been seeing this stuff roll out, and I don't really understand it so much, but these things called NFTs, are you familiar with those?
The NFTs, yeah.
Non-fungible tokens or whatever, where people will put something, a unique thing, onto a blockchain. They'll put a representation of it up there. And people pay huge money for some of them. And smaller amounts for other things, I guess. But this seems to be a role.
There are so many currencies evolving right now. And a lot of this hyper-connected internet world is all about currencies and streams.
Sure.
And when the stream activists starts, right?
Stream
they take
activists?
Over those algorithms, and they can fuck them up in just like days.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because they're using feedback loops.
Right. Yeah.
They
can't
live in closed in ecosystems, these algorithms, right? Because then they out of date in no time. So they have to release them and let them train on non sandboxes or non-controlled environments, and then you can fuck them up.
Yeah.
You see it all the time in the currencies, and we saw it with that whole game store thing, right?
Oh, right, GameStop, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was...
That was a hijack of a stream.
It was a good hijack. you're familiar with all that, how that all worked, or why they were doing it. They were tired of the people shorting a company stock and destroying a company just so they could make a little profit.
Exactly.
So
and that's what you get with the new activists. They go in and take over these streams, And right now, the social currency, if you go to YouTube, the social currency is in full revolt right there right now. They are taking each other out like nothing.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, all of these various social media sites, which I still don't really consider YouTube a social media site, but apparently it is. Everybody else calls it one. And maybe I'm missing something there, but I don't know. Anyway, but
you go to it like for information and videos and music.
Yeah, I don't go there to...
There's a whole giant community over there, millions, 10, 12 millions of people who are engaging in profiles and moving their trust and moving their currencies and their likes, canceling out each other. It's really like a big ocean of currencies that can just, you know, they're like data streams.
Yeah. I don't go on there to communicate with other people, just carry on conversations. On Twitter, I guess people carry on conversations there. I don't. I just go there and post crap. And if people want to comment on it, whatever, that's fine.
When it comes to this whole social media and the way it's being played out right now, Twitter is mainly like a weapon on the social media, because you can really move hundreds and thousands of people within a very short time.
Move them?
From liking one person to not liking that anymore, or attacking something, or getting their way with something. They're moving hundreds and thousands of clicks and likes in hours.
Right. That's true.
It's insane.
It is insane. I never got those kind of responses.
No. I don't think you went chasing them, did you?
No. Well, one time I said something to some lefty. I forget who the person was, or what it was even about. But something, they didn't like my comment, and so they spread it, and I got like a few thousand things, but I never responded. So I guess if you don't respond back to their crazy criticisms, then they leave you alone after they just get bored with you. But if I was to go in there and try and, you know, battle their nonsense, then they could have, you know, beat me down for whatever comment I said that they were not happy about. Because I don't remember what I called something, a fake or a hoax or, you know, whatever. And they didn't like that. Oh, how can you call that a hoax?
But I'm just just how artificial this whole digital world is, and all the new currencies it introduces, mm-hmm. and they are artificial. They have an impact in real life just as much as that politics that is artificial too.
Okay, well, tell me what currency exists right now out there that is not artificial.
No, everything is. No, I would say that trust currency isn't. Unless we're moving into the NLP and the whole manipulation. But trust currency, you know, the way you trust your fellow man, who you build trust with. That's the currency, too.
Right. So the only
But they are making that very artificial right now with all the media. Who do you trust? They're really, the whole COVID has a whole trust currency thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to trust? They're building trust, you know, in these polarized cults, really, right?
Right.
But trust is a currency that shouldn't be artificial.
Well, I mean, if it's, well, that's up to you. You know, when you put your trust in a person or a thing, then that's up to you to decide whether or not that's real or not. But you need that for, like, you know, agorism. Like your local, like if you want to go down to whatever, Agora, and trade somebody, you know, something for what they have, then you need.
Yeah, that's, you're looking for monetary currency still, right?
Right. Well, this is talking about, you know, barter, basically. Because if you're going to barter with somebody, you want to know that they're going to deal with you fairly, and so you need to have a trust situation going on there.
But there are other markets than just physical ones or commodity.
Of course, but.
Yes.
That,
you see, all around elections, you have one of the biggest markets, which is like a voting market, right?
Yeah, but there's nothing to trust
not
there.
It's not a physical market. You're not trading stuff. Whatever currencies that are floating can't be monetized to spend on physical stuff. Well, there are a lot of money involved, but that goes into moving the trust currency and the voting currencies and the loyalty currencies and a lot of emotional currencies, right?
Right, but
that's what you do around an election, is
yeah,
that you're moving
there's
people.
There is nothing to trust around an election.
There is a lot of trust involved. A lot of people are trusting when they go and vote. So there is a big bulk of trust in that, and that's what elections are, is trying to get to that trust so that they will vote for you. It's
right.
about conveying people.
Well, they have to they have to begin by trusting the system.
Yes.
Come on.
if you have no trust to trade on the market at all, you're not going to be trading on that market, right?
Come on,
that's pretty much where I am. I don't have trust in any of that market, so I'm not trading on it.
Right. Yeah. And then when you show people that the system is not to be trusted and point out the facts of how the system is not to be trusted, how their entire lives they've been trusting the system and using it and what it's done back to them, they don't want to talk to you anymore. They're done with you with that. Well, for the most part, people just, you're talking about something I've known my whole life and I've believed and I still believe it's a cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Because they see everything every time they go down there and they involve themselves in that and they use those trust systems for trusting the overall system, that they get screwed every time and they keep thinking, next time, it'll be better next time. Oh, it's going to be different this time. But it's not. It never is.
No, I think that's what happened in I can feel that in the overall trust in politicians had a big drop during the COVID thing.
I would hope so.
Yes.
Especially like the people like the governors in states over here, the crazy ass governors like the one in New Mexico, the one in Michigan, the one in Oregon, is because they're so heavy on the control. Whether it be the masks or the lockdowns or the limitations of businesses, what they can do, showing where, okay, we're going to go ahead and allow these huge corporations to continue operating normally, but all you small businesses, you're screwed. We're shutting your asses down. So all of them, all of the people that work for them, all the people that supply them, they're all screwed. But if you're a big corporation, you're a freaking Walmart, Starbucks or whatever, then you can operate pretty much normally because you're going to, follow our rules. And these little guys, well, they may not, And since they may not, then we're driving them away. We're finishing them off. And we want to...
Because it definitely drove a wedge in between, Danes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's right now a wedge that's becoming bigger and bigger. Where half of them is going, oh, it's a good thing we're being careful and yada, yada. And those are usually the ones who are getting sent home to work from home where it didn't really affect them.
Right.
And then on the other side, you have all the people who were infected, right?
Right.
Not by the COVID, by all the restrictions, which is like half of the people here. And they're going, okay, enough already.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got this, and it's just divide and conquer. It's just division.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have such a different culture over there. A little more rebellious than what we get here in the States. You guys see something that is obviously incorrect, and you stand up against it. You say something. You do something.
But it's still going on, though. And then just like all the other European countries, we got court cases going in court. I bet you have those in America, too, right?
Sure, sure.
High Supreme Court cases, yada, yada. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but like I said, the courts are all rigged, too. And the courts agree with the state. Imagine that. They're part of the state. They agree with the state.
Well, I'm just saying the first one that came out agreed with, not with the state, that please end the COVID restrictions right now.
Over there.
In Belgium, yeah.
Yeah.
Belgium, they had a court case where somebody took the state to the Supreme Court, and the court said, no, this is against our constitution. You have to lift all the restrictions now.
Yeah.
You have no mandate for this.
Right, and it's all nonsense anyway. They've been proving time and time again in various places here that they're not using any kind of actual or even fake scientific data to make the parameters for the lockdowns. They're just saying, all right, well,
no,
okay, you guys can be
open. Their spreadsheets had a fucking virus, Grim, you're right. It's all a hashtag error, 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 man.
Yeah.
The calculations are not valid.
Well,
their data input is so fucked up. That's what I've been saying from the get-go. You can't toss around these numbers.
They do.
They fucked up all the numbers. They changed strategies. They changed measurements. They changed the way they measured. They changed what they measured. They changed all the dimensions around the facts.
Yeah.
And they stuck that in a relational database. You can't do that. You just throwing out all the new ones. Now you got silos with no keys that you can. You got no primary keys and nothing to connect these tables of data with each other.
No, because, well, the data is all faked, so.
Even if it wasn't, they destroyed it.
Yeah.
They had like 1 month we measured this way, and next month we measured this way. Okay, can I compare the 2 months? No, you can't.
No, they there's
well,
no.
Well, okay, then it's mock data.
Right. No correlation.
No.
Yeah.
You can't work with that. If I got a database like that, I would kill the database programmer, man.
Well, may not be the programmer that's the problem.
No, it's really the designer who put the shit in there.
And the one that's giving you the data in the first place.
Yeah.
And if they're giving you messed up data, as the old saying, computer person saying goes,
yeah.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So all you are stuck with is what we had to make decisions before we had data and spreadsheets, which is our, you know, common sense and our gut feeling.
Right. Common sense.
That's not true.
Common sense, very uncommon.
you have to connect your common sense with your gut feeling. Otherwise, your common sense might mislead you a lot.
There's really no common sense in anything that's going on.
No.
So, yeah.
No.
And they don't want people to think. They want you to listen to what they say and go along with it. That's the big elephant in the room, I think, right there is. They don't want you to think.
I can't affect it. This is how I'm going to go through it, though. I have no effect on the political side of this.
Uh-huh.
I'm not even interested in spending any energy trying to affect the political side of this because, no, it's not going to happen, and I'm just going to waste my energy, and I'm going to get really miserable while doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to affect that whole legal side of it. That's being played out in a completely different playground that I'm not a part of. I'm not going to affect that. I am, however, going to affect that whole spiritual side and the social side. So what I decided is what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to swallow a lot of the propaganda from both sides or all sides.
Right.
I'm not going to start villainizing my fellow human man. I'm not going to define other humans by the maddest of their edges.
By the what now?
The maddest of their edges. I'm not going to define a human being for wearing a mask where I think it's whack. I'm not. That's not the whole human being. There is a human being in there too, not just that mask. And I'm not going to fall into that. I'm going to keep reminding myself that these are my fellow human beings. We're all in this together. And they are just as complex and wonderful as all the people that I know and love, even though I don't know and love them.
Even though they're insane.
It's okay. We're all insane.
Well, that's true.
Why would I see, I don't define you by the maddest of your edges, right?
Okay.
Because why would I do that? Then I wouldn't like anybody if I did that. Everybody has mad edges and bad sides, right?
Sure, sure.
If we constantly just define people by that,
well,
what else is, well, then what's the whole point? What else is there?
I don't know. Well, let me answer Flash's question here in the chat to me. He asks me, who am I calling uncommon? Well, would you rather be called common? Do you want to be one of the common, one of the normies? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. All right, you commoner.
I don't know.
You normie.
The whole being proud of your class, right? That class pride.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, I was born a proletarian. I'm going to die a proletarian. I'm not going to own anything.
No, the Schwab guy, World Economic Forum guy, he says, you will own nothing and you will like it.
Yeah. Well, I know people who are class proud about being proletarians, too. To own nothing.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
I guess, go back to John Lennon's song, Imagine, huh? Imagine no possession. It's easy if you try.
I think I come back to my old Karl Marx and Marxism lessons, right? Back when I was a communist, a Marxist activist, and I was taught back then that everything is a class struggle. And I tend to still think that is somewhat true.
Of course, John Lennon was kind of a Marxist, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
blame Yoko.
Oh, really?
For a lot of things, but yeah. The evil Yoko.
The evil Yoko.
Yeah.
I think she set him free, though, from a lot of shit.
I guess. I mean, you know. I don't know.
I think she's the one who told him that he didn't have to be that pop star.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think you can. You be a pop star or a famous person if you're not constantly chasing that image thing.
I don't. I mean, there's been some that you know that have. I don't know how big a. If you listen to someone like Van Morrison's new stuff, you know Van Morrison, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
he lived in Denmark in a town that literally means vanless.
Okay. Anyway, he's quite outspoken and honest and rebellious against the situation, this elephant in the room crap. So it's great to hear somebody with his notoriety, and he's been around for forever, doing his thing. So. But there's, most of them are not. Most of these pop stars, whatever you want to call them, rock stars, musicians, go out there and preach the word of the state. He's one.
Well, because
of,
the same happened during the whole John Lennon thing, though, right?
What do you mean?
Well, the world got into this high tense situation, and the anger and the fear and the low vibration energies were just rising, right?
Around the Vietnam situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And what he did was preach love, though, right? The opposite, go deep, take, he was talking into the spiritual dimension of these world crises when they start, when these so-called wannabe rulers think they're going to abuse the slaves and they roll out one of these high-tense torture games, right?
Right, right.
And I know there is the financial, the politics, the politics side, the big pharma, I know there are a lot of dimensions around it.
Sure.
And one of them is the spiritual one. And to just, fight off that anger, fight off all that hate, fight off all those lower frequencies, and keep, being in open vibrations.
Right. But the state does not want you to know those things or recognize those things. They want you to only worship them.
Yeah, and be in that little, those vibrations, they can be small and closed where you're just bouncing and you're just in that aggravated mode, right? Where you're no longer in control of anything. You're no longer thriving. You stop growing and you're definitely not learning when you're in those.
Right.
And you're not giving to anybody. You're just giving in to the torture, really.
Yeah.
Because then you're torturing your own spirit.
Right.
And you really gotta fight that and stay in those open, calm energies where you are able to see things clearly. And just, I don't know, just forgive the other people whenever they wrong you because they are in that energy of fear and anger right now.
And why do you think so many percentage of people wind up being trapped into that situation where, I mean, they're not really even thinking for themselves?
I think we both know the answer to that, Grimmie. I think it's NLP.
I know.
I think it's media and NLP everywhere.
But I'm asking you so you'll answer.
I think it comes back to the, if you really see through all our shows, the one consistent topic we bring in is the NLP.
Sure, yeah.
And how this spiritual warfare of language and stories and self-identity and ethos and just programming from the media and images and the world around you all the time, what it does to us.
Right. And really, since I started doing this internet radio stuff many years ago, that's been my primary focus is the NLP.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were around back in the days when I was doing my daily news show, the RLM news show.
I wasn't.
Okay. Well, anyway, my basic thing was to take, big news stories that were out there and break down the nonsense, point out the NLP in those stories. And when I was doing it, I mean, I would pretty much constantly be laughing at them throughout the show, It's a crazy thing, but it's such a bombardment of people's brain cells, and getting them to think and believe, not think so much, but believe that what they were reading was true, although there was these little squirrely little sneaky ass words. Hey, pancakes. Yeah. In there, and I would try my best to point those out, and I did that for 3-4 years. That show every single Monday through Friday, I did that show, and it got to be such a drain on me after a while because it's all the same, and it keeps coming, and it's relentless.
And the last year, if we're talking about the last year, has been like they cranked up the NLP torture, right?
Yeah, there's not even any...
Everywhere!
They used to mix a little bit of truth in with their lies. That's all, that truth part's gone. It's now just pure frickin' lies, endlessly, constantly. And I
don't even go into town. I don't go nearby any billboards. There are no signs out here. I stay off mainstream media. I don't click anything. I have everything blocked, so I don't see any advertisements. Even YouTube, I pay for it, so I don't see it. Just, get away. But I still have to spend like an hour in nature to just let it go.
Just
not get all that fucked up, not get angry, not feel the indignation, not get into all this.
Yeah.
Not taking a side in all this.
I use ad blockers and other tools to prevent me from seeing the ads on YouTube. And I would not, be handing money over to Google.
I do. Especially when I used to take the train for 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it gave me the opportunity to let it play in the background.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Cool. I also give money to Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I stopped them many years ago, too. But I give money to Amazon, which, you know, they're a big evil corporation. I like Amazon. They get me the stuff I need when I need it, and they got all the movies and music and all kinds of wonderful.
I also drink coffee. There's literally no way to get coffee that you haven't, you know, done something horrible in the name of that coffee.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we're terrible, evil people. We do bad things.
No, the world of commercialism is rotten, right?
Yeah.
Humans are not to blame for that, though.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, they're not totally free from the blame either, but, you know, because the convenience makes us do things that may be against our moral character.
I forgive them, and I forgive you, and I forgive me for all the sinners we do in the name of corporate.
Do I have to say any, like, Hail Marys or anything? Or
Hail Mary and all that.
Yeah.
I forgive thee. From the big commercial God in disguise, I was sent here to forgive you.
I have to go sit in a little room and tell you all my
sins. For all
your
commercial sins.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're out of time here. We're a little over, actually. Anyway.
It was fun.
It was fun. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I had a good time here doing the show today. And
love you, pancakes.
And if you see an elephant in the room, say hi to him because
because
people always ignore and avoid the elephant in the room. So go over and say hi. Give him some peanuts, you know.
Yeah.
Don't stand behind him.
unless you have ice cold feet and you really need to warm them up.
Yeah, see, again, that's no, that's
just say it.
I'd put some socks on. I don't want to be standing in cow dung or elephant dung.
That or lose a toe, I would.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, thanks. Check the schedule on reallibertybeauty.com and rlmradio.xyz for all the rest of the shows coming up throughout the week. And have a great week,
and forgive
really.
Forgive somebody. Forgive them.
Forgive them.
Forgive yourself. Forgive them. Forgive everything. Let's move on.
Show them your love and kindness. Yes. All right.
Yes.
Talk to y'all later. Peace.